Yeah, sure. Sure.
Good
evening.
Sorry. Still daylight, I assume, this morning. Sorry. It's Thursday. That's a weird one at Leicester. Because you're in that space when you're kind of ready to go home. You're tired, but you're also just tired. You don't really want to go home. Yeah, you've got to school on Monday, so. But we were praying before the service. Sometimes this Thursday session comes to me odd. Wednesday you're having very, very expected, God's going to talk to me. Thursday you're kind of half thinking about home, half thinking about what you've got to do when you get back, and all those kind of things. I just felt God kind of just nudging me to say, yeah, he's not done yet. Okay? He's not finished yet. There's still some stuff God wants to share with us this morning. So be expectant that God wants to share something with you this morning. We're going to, this is quite a short talk this morning. This one is on the persistence of prayer, the keeping going, the keeping on, the praying when you get home, continuing those conversations that you might have started here this week. And I'm going to start this morning with a story. Another story. It's a story. It's a story about a donkey.
It's not
a story about a Bible donkey. There are donkeys in the Bible, they feature quite heavily, but this is not a Bible story about a donkey. You've got to spoil it, let's go back one. Okay, so here's my story about a donkey. I didn't write this story, it's just a story. Once upon a time, that's how you know it's a pretend story, because it's once upon a time. Once upon a time, there was a donkey. The donkey was getting on in years, and he was a constant source of frustration and irritation to his owner, a farmer. The donkey was slow and stubborn, and to be honest, the farmer probably wouldn't have missed the donkey if something had happened to it. The farmer happened to own a very, very large property, not dissimilar to the ground that we find ourselves in today. And one day, as he was surveying his property, he heard the loud, distinctive e-aw of a donkey in distress. He wondered what on earth the stupid donkey had done now. And so he looked all over his property, looking for the animal, until at last he came to a well at the far edge of the property. And he realised the donkey had fallen into the well. The farmer rolled his eyes at the stupidity of the donkey and wondered very briefly how on earth the stupid creature had managed to fall into the well. Going through his options, the farmer rapidly came to the conclusion that it wasn't worth the effort of constructing some kind of device to help the donkey up and out. He didn't really want the hassle of bothering the fire service or the RSPCA with this particular situation, but after all, the donkey was old and slow and stubborn. Instead, the farmer decided to retrieve a shovel and simply fill in the old well, as he needed to do it anyway. There was going to be no mean feat to fill in the well, so he called two friends to help him. It's a fictional story, calm down. No donkeys were harmed. See? No donkeys were harmed. So he decided to fill in the old well completely with the donkey inside, and he gets two friends to come and help him. Now, understandably, the donkey became somewhat distressed, and each heap of earth landed upon him from the farmer and the farmer's friends as they filled the well. Now, it should come as no surprise that this donkey was not, in fact, as stupid as his owner had presumed. The donkey quickly realised what was happening and began to bray very loudly, eaw, eaw. Unperturbed, though, the three friends kept shoveling the dirt on top of the donkey's head, keen to get their donkey murdering activity over with so that they could get on with their day. Pretty soon, the brain of the donkey stopped. Friends peered over the edge of the well to see if perhaps things had happened a bit more quickly than they expected. The donkey, however, had not been dispatched yet. As the farmer's friend peered into the well, she was astonished. Instead of being buried, the donkey had been dodging the incoming dirt as it fell into the well. And as the dirt piled higher and higher and higher, the donkey would simply stand on the ever-increasing mound. The donkey's tenacity and courage had an incredible effect on his owner. Maybe the donkey wasn't so stupid after all. And as a result of the donkey's persistence, the mission changed, and the friends went from trying to bury the donkey to try to save the donkey. They shoveled more and more dirt into the abandoned well until eventually, the donkey jumped out at the top victorious, having got out of the well and having not been buried. Upon his release, the farmer and his friends all dropped their shovels and applauded the old stubborn beast with a newfound admiration. My donkeys are wrong in the making of this story, but there are three things I would like us to think about, and I would like you to think about being more donkey today. I'd like you to think about these things. We're going to learn these lessons from the donkey. I know prayer donkeys aren't as impressive as maybe prayer stallions or prayer lions or other impressive animals, but the donkey's got a lot to teach us. We're going to look about three characteristics of the donkey. He was noisy, he was tenacious, and he was courageous. And I would like us to take these lessons into our prayer lives when we get home. So, number one, be noisy. Some of you are quite good at that. My natural inclination in life, when things start to go wrong, my natural inclination is to retreat into myself and to attempt to deal with things by myself, mostly because I don't want to bother other people, but mostly actually because I have a tendency to think that I'm quite good at dealing with things by myself and I can handle this. Maybe you can relate. Okay, quite a few of you. In our story, though, the donkey was very different to me. When that donkey got into trouble, he did not retreat into himself. Rather, he did not stay silent, and it was his noisiness which ultimately alerted his owner to his plight, the fact that he'd fallen into the well. Now, in this story, the farmer doesn't really represent God. Okay? The farmer is just a farmer. Not least because when the farmer is alerted to the plight of the donkey, his response is to get rid of the donkey and not to help the donkey. God is not like that. This week, you might have found it easier to pray whilst you're here. You might have found that there's been more opportunity to pray whilst you've been here than perhaps you may have at home. Maybe it has been easier, but I just want to encourage you this morning that the God who we've met with here is the same God that you can meet with at home. When you are back home, God still listens to you. Just check out these two verses in the New Testament. We've got one from 1 Peter and one from 1 John. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. And in John, and how bold and free we then become in his presence, freely asking according to his will, this is the key bit, sure that he is listening. The donkey was in a pretty dire situation when he started to call out. And whilst we've talked about praying throughout the day, don't neglect to cry out to God, particularly when things get tough. So often we think that it's a sign of weakness to ask people for help, and it is not. That is true of prayer, it is true of life in general. It's not weakness to ask somebody else to help you solve an issue that you are going through. Over the last year particularly, I have been learning something about crying out to God, and literally at times crying out to God. Elijah, the eldest, was the easiest baby in the world. He slept for 6 weeks, he ate well, he was chilled out. He was basically the perfect baby. And for a while, John and I thought that it was us. We thought that we had done something right. We thought, oh, we've been we've done the routine. This must be our parenting. This is why he sleeps so well. And we got a little bit smug. That was our error. Because then Jude came along. Jude, cute as he is, lovely as he is not the same. He's not a good sleeper. I've mentioned this before. He's really not. He's never been very good at it. And you're probably feeling a little bit sleep deprived this week. You probably haven't had more than some 4 or 5 hours of night's sleep for 3 days. Imagine that for 14 months. Not having a full night's sleep, really, for 14 months. That gets quite tough for a while. It got particularly tough in January, though. Because normally, John and I tag teams, where Judy's up in the night. No, you do one night, I do the other. We swap like that. John abandoned me in January, and he went to America for a week with work. He didn't really abandon me, he had to go to work, it was fine. But it did leave me alone with both of the boys, and it would be fair to say I was quite worried about this. June was beginning to sleep a little bit better, I thought maybe it would be okay, but no, he chose that week John was away to decide to start doing this thing where he'd wake up for 2.5 hours in the middle of the night and refuse to go back to sleep. Now I'm back at work, So when you have very, very little sleep in 2.5 hours, and then you have to go and teach bottom set year 9 the following morning. Yes, it was not good. By the third night of this, I was pretty much at the end of my tether. We joke about it. It was awful. By that point, I was needing to walk out of the room, didn't know what to do, was literally crying out to God. And whilst I sat with Jude on my lap at one point, the only place where he would sleep, had my phone out, as I often did, and I wrote this psalm of my own. I can smile about it now, but at the time there were a lot of tears as I wrote this. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is the psalm of the sleep-deprived mother. Shall we read from that? God, where are you? Why aren't you answering my prayer? I called to you in the night. I asked you to help me, but I hear nothing. My words bounce off the ceiling. I'm worn out, exhausted, at the end of my tether. I can't keep doing this. This night feels so long and dark. Hear my prayer. You know, I literally cried out that prayer to God. And although the answer did not come quickly, Jude did not suddenly start sleeping amazingly well, I realised in that moment that actually, whilst I was going through that, I was not alone. I talked about this a bit last night. When things get hard, and they will, being a Christian, I've said this a couple of times this week, being a Christian does not protect us from the hardest things that life will throw at us. Okay? Sorry, this isn't a upbeat kind of thing, but actually it's good for you to know there will be deep disappointments, there'll be pain and grief, and for some of you, you know that. You don't need me to tell you that because you're going through it right now. You're going through some of the hardest things you've ever gone through right now, and you're struggling with it. Sometimes these things will come and hit you out of the blue. Things are working fine, and then suddenly something comes and hits you in the face, and it blindsides you a little bit. Faith in God does not mean that we always get what we ask for, because we don't pray to get. But when we are facing these disappointments, when we are blindsided by things not working out for us, don't stop speaking to God. Be like our donkey. Get noisy with God. Now, don't mean shout at God, but talk. Tell God what you're going through. Trust that he hears you when you call. So in our story, the donkey was tenacious. The word tenacious comes from the Latin tenacitas, which literally means an act of holding fast, gripping onto something. Think back to your first day when you were doing tug of war. You did not hold on to that rope loosely because you wanted to win and you wanted to defeat the opposing team, so you held fast. That is what tenacious means. It means extremely persistent, enduring. It even means relentless or stubborn. Okay? We sometimes think that's a negative characteristic. I don't actually think it is. How relentless are we when we pray for things? Rhetorical question, but think about your lists from last night. How relentless are we? Do we sometimes pray, see no obvious answer, decide God isn't listening, and then walk away and give up? Or do we keep going and going and going? Had the donkey not kept jumping on those piles of dirt as they kept raining down on the donkey's head, the donkey would have been buried. It would have meant certain donkey doom. And yet the donkey kept going again and again and again, even though the dirt kept piling up on his or her head. Sometimes we ask God for things and the answer comes like this, and it's a 999 lightning response. God answers us immediately. Other times the prayer answers come slowly, like a tortoise or a sloth, gradual and imperceptible. We sometimes can't see it. But answers often are coming. We had a guy come and speak at our church a few weeks ago, a guy called Jonathan Conrad. He travelled around the world praying for people. He's got this incredible healing ministry. He literally sees people healed in front of him of all sorts of issues. He said this in part of his sermon. He said, when we pray, God always does something. When we pray, God always does something. We don't always see our answers coming, and we often get quite impatient about those things, but it doesn't mean God isn't working behind the scenes. It doesn't mean he hasn't seen and heard you, and it doesn't mean it's not going on. Sometimes it's like this seed. Okay, that seed there, the first one representing your initial prayer. Now, I'm not a gardener. Can't even keep plants alive in my own house. John has to do all the watering with them. But I believe that when you plant a seed, things don't happen immediately. Often there is a period of waiting before we actually start to see fruit and we see growth. There's a winter when nothing appears to happen. And it might be that for some of you this morning, in the middle of your prayer life, you are in a winter kind of season. You have prayed for something, and at the moment the seed is lying dormant in the ground and nothing is happening, and you feel like giving up. You feel like in the middle of this winter, and it's going to be like a Narnia winter, and it's going to go on forever and ever and ever. This morning I want to tell you that that is not the case. Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer is there, lying in the ground. And I can't tell you how long it will be between seed number one and the final image there, the shoot poking out of the ground and your answer coming. But what I would say to you this morning is be tenacious. Keep on going. In Colossians it says this, be persistent in prayer and keep alert as you pray, giving thanks to God. Be persistent. In Luke 11, you'll probably have heard this verse, and it says, ask and it will be given to you. And we hear that verse and we go, well, I asked God and I didn't get it. So there must be something wrong with prayer. Or there must be something wrong with me. Or there must be something wrong with God. Maybe God is real after all. In Luke, this verse is, this is found in a chapter entitled The Parable of Persistence. Maybe this whole parable doesn't really work so well in our modern culture, kind of 24/7 Tesco's and convenience stores, but we'll run with it anyway. In this story, a man had some unexpected visitors turn up in the middle of the night. Middle Eastern culture was and still is one of deep hospitality, so to not be able to provide your guests with something to eat would have been fairly shameful. So in this story, the host nips off next door and he starts banging on the door of his neighbour to try and get some bread for his visitors. Now his neighbour, unsurprisingly, it's past midnight, he tells him to go away in no uncertain terms. However, this man who's got visitors keeps knocking and knocking and knocking and knocking until eventually, because of his tenacity, because of his persistence, the neighbour gets up and gives him some bread. And Jesus goes on to say this in his parable. And this is in the Amplified version of the Bible. The Amplified version of the Bible kind of expands upon what might be in your Bible. So it adds in a few bits just to make the point of what's really going on. So when that verse says, ask and it will be given to you, it actually means this. Ask and keep on asking and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking and you will find. Knock and keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who keeps on asking persistently finds, and to him who keeps on seeking persistently, the door will be opened. Jesus could not be any more clear here. It's not just the asking in prayer that counts. It's the keeping on asking, the persistency, the cheeky, persistent, tenacious prayers of asking when we want to give up. Prayer is hard when we want to give up. Prayer is hard when we don't see those answers. And sometimes it's just easier, we think, to cut off those lines of communication and just give up on it, rather than deal with the doubts and the worries that start to creep in when our prayers aren't answered. When those doubts and worries start crowding in and crowding out that truth, keep on going. Dodge that dirt falling on your head, and I encourage you to keep praying until you get the answer. Just to illustrate that point a little bit further, we can learn an awful lot from children, from little kids. And whilst I was preparing for this talk, Judy just really started learning to walk. I just want to show you a quick video of when he was beginning to learn to walk. We got it up there? Okay. Yeah, so here's Judy's learned to walk.
Can we get up again?
Oh, yeah. You don't need the audio, it's just sure.
And again.
I'm just going to keep going backwards. That's cheating. Hey Jude, good job!
Now I'm not just showing this because I love to brag on the baby, I do. If you have struggled with not seeing answers in your prayer, I want you to be more baby, okay? I want you to be a bit more like Jude, okay? Notice when he fell down, he didn't go, well, I'm never going to learn to walk, am I? I'm just going to give up on it. No, he doesn't. He just gets up. And he keeps on going, and he takes another step, and he falls down again. And again, he doesn't freak out about it. He doesn't worry that it's never going to happen. Because babies don't think like that. They don't worry. That comes later, as we get older. Keep on going. Keep getting up. And although I said to Jude there when he held on and pulled himself up on the sofa that he was cheating, it's not really cheating in your prayer life if you need somebody to pull yourself up on. And if you need to go and find another person to pray with you, that's not cheating. You don't have to do it by yourself. You've got friends around you in this room who are Christians who I'm sure would pray with you. You've got youth leaders back home. You've got people in your church that you can go and seek out and say, do you know what, I can't do this prayer thing. I'm finding it really hard. I'm struggling, even tell them, I'm struggling to even believe that God is still there. Would you pray with me? There will be people in your churches who I guarantee would be absolutely delighted for you to go and seek them out and go, I don't get this. You've been on the journey a lot longer than I have. Help me out here. Okay? Go and ask. So be tenacious, be persistent, and ask for help if you need it. Now, because all good sermons apparently bring ideas together in threes, here is my third one. It's about being courageous. Okay. At first I had noisy, tenacious and persistent, and then I realised persistent means the same thing. So I had to look back over the story. But what we see in this story is that our donkey is courageous. And sometimes being a prayer is going to take some courage from you. Being a prayer is a bit countercultural sometimes. Your friends might not necessarily get it. You might have family members who don't get why you want to spend time talking to this invisible being that they don't even believe in. Have courage, okay? Being somebody who has an active prayer life and somebody who prioritises prayer in a world that doesn't can be tricky. Oswald Chambers, a Scottish evangelist, says this. We tend to use prayer as a last resort, but God wants it to be our first line of defence. We pray when there's nothing else we can do, but God wants us to pray before we can do anything at all. Whilst around 50% of adults say they have prayed, and they do occasionally pray, that's not what Oswald Chambers is talking about here. It's pretty easy to call on God where you're literally or metaphorically clinging from a cliff and you're in desperate need of something. That's quite easy. It's not so easy to make prayer a regular part of your day-to-day life. That might take some sacrifice from you. It might mean sacrificing some time in bed, getting up early for praying. It might sacrifice doing something else that you really want to do. Just prioritise prayer in your life. Let's go to the quote from Andrew. Prayer is not an old woman's idle amusement. Okay? It's not something just old people do. Properly understood and applied, it is the most potent instrument of action. Okay? It's powerful. We talked about this a couple of nights ago. It's powerful. But prayer is not going to become powerful for you unless you actually do it. Okay? Prayer is not going to become powerful and potent and an instrument of action for you unless you make time to actually pray. I'm going to give you some time later to start thinking over your schedules and your lives and begin, where can I start to put prayer in where prayer is not currently there? This connection with God, this stuff I've been talking about this week, this line of communication is 100% integral to a life of deep, meaningful faith. You can't easily be a Christian without praying. Okay? You can be a Christian without praying, but you can't get this deep, meaningful faith without praying. The final thing I'm going to say tonight is that is that you need courage in prayer because sometimes when you pray, God's going to talk to you. God's going to ask you. God's going to ask you to do something sometimes. He might speak to you. He might give you words to share with other people, and it takes courage to actually respond to that prompt of God. But it makes such a difference in people's lives if you feel that God has given you something to say. John popped up here last night to me. He shared something that God had given him from Deuteronomy, and I think some of you in here, that was quite important to hear. But it took courage to come and stand up here and grab the mic and share that. Just going to give you an example of somebody who stepped out and who gave me a message that they felt was relevant to me in the middle of a church service. Now, about 10 years ago, I went along to a church service at Kingsgate. I wasn't currently attending that church, although that is my home church now. I don't remember why I went, but I was in the middle of my training year to become a teacher. And I had pretty much decided that I didn't want to do it anymore. It was too hard. I thought maybe I got it wrong, maybe it wasn't the plan that God had for me, and I literally have on my phone a list of pros and cons. Reasons to give up teaching, reasons to keep teaching. And they were kind of, no, I was going to say they weren't equal. The reasons to give up teaching were a lot higher than the other reasons. And I just didn't know what to do, and I'd be kind of praying, God, will you show me? Where do I go now? What do? Do I give up? Do I not? Anyway, at the end of the service, a woman turned around, didn't know her. She just looked at me and she went, really sorry, but I don't know if this is for you, but I feel like God's got something to say to you. I want to get this right. She said to me, she said, by the end of this week, who God is saying to you, he will make it clear whether he wants you to stay or go. Very much, that's great. And had that in my mind that week. Anyway, 2 days later, I got a phone call from the head of history at Stangrove College, as it was then, saying that they had had a phone call from my lecturer, saying that they'd heard about me, they had a vacancy, and would I like to come and interview for a job in the following day. I had not applied for a job there. They hadn't even put an advert out yet, or anything like that. Anyway, long story short, I went for the interview, they gave me the job, and years later, I'm still teaching there. And I feel like it's the right place for me to be at the moment. Now, would I have had the confidence to accept the offer of that interview without that woman turning around and giving me that word? I don't think I would have done, because at that point I was still very much weighing in my ideas of do I stay or do I go. But hearing from her, hearing from God that that he would make it clear where he wanted me to be, meant that I was on the lookout for that sign. Now, it might be. It might be that God gives you things to say when you start praying and expect it, and then have the courage, like that woman did, to actually start sharing those things with other people. Because that word that woman gave me didn't just make my decision that particular day. I keep coming back to that again and again. Whenever I've had doubts about being in the right place, I get going back to that, of God will make it clear where he wants you to be. And I keep coming back to that again and again. It sustains me through some really challenging times in my job. We're kind of coming into land, finishing off. The first time Matt and I met to discuss what we might speak about, or I might speak about this lesson, we talked a bit about how easy it can be to pray and worship in this particular space. How sometimes we can start to believe that it's something about this place alone that makes it happen. And Matt said this to me, and I said I'd quote him. So he said, it's not the place, it's the proximity to God. And I think you were quoting somebody else there. It's not the place, it's the proximity to God. When we are here at Leicester, we make space. Okay? There's time, there's space. You don't have your normal pressures, the normal stuff going on. So sometimes we feel like we hear from God more than we're able to at home. Life back home gets busy, it gets noisy, it gets complicated. There are messy family situations, there are messy friendships, there are mock exams, there are stresses and anxieties that just can get in the way. But in spite of all of that, the God you might have met here this week is the same God that's in at home and can speak to you there as well. I would like you to do something for me. If you've got your journals with you, if you've been journaling, great, great. If you haven't been, you can just reflect on this and just think about it. I would like you to spend about 5 minutes or so just quietly by yourselves, just reflecting on maybe what God has been speaking to you this week. When I say speaking, that might just be a sense that you've got, it might be some of the conversations somebody else has had with you, but just what is he getting at? If you've got your journal with you, I encourage you to flip back through things you've written down, through your Bibles that you've been highlighting, anything like that. And if you're not sure, just ask God to draw your attention to the thing he would like you to take away from this whole week. I don't know if you guys have that, can we maybe put some music on, some worship music, something, and a fairly mellow, that would be really good. But just ask God, what is it he wants you to take away? What's the one thing? What's the one thing that stood out to you this week? Okay, is it something about the making space? Is it something from our session on disappointments and handling that disappointment? Is it maybe something about the power of prayer? Is it something as simple as just believing that God actually is there that you didn't necessarily before? When you found that something, write it down somewhere in your journal so that you can then return to that in the days and weeks to come, the thing that God is speaking to you about. If you're not writing it down, just think about it. You think of it. want to write it down and don't have paper, just pray one of I talked a little bit on Monday about kind of praying the everyday in my car on the way to work, walking around my classroom behind the desk of my students, you know, taking those moments where I'm just by myself to a quick prayer. Anything like that, if you're not already doing that, are there any little changes that you can make? Okay? If you don't start making practical decisions, it's much more hard to carry this kind of stuff on when you get home. So be practical. What can you do? Make a commitment. Writing, I'm going to try and do this. Tell somebody about it. Let's check in with you in a couple of weeks' time. You said you were going to do that thing. You're still getting up at 6:30 to have a quick pray. You're still praying on your walk to school. Did you talk to somebody about getting involved in church? So get somebody to check in with you in a couple of weeks. These methods are going. Anyway, you just do yourself. Just going to share one more story with you, and then we can get one final story for you. A couple of weeks ago, I've been working in Costa, writing session 2's talk, I think. And I was walking back home in the rain. Walking back to Costa, and I was just, I guess, praying, just chatting to God about what was going to go on in the session. And I just suddenly, as I was walking home, just got this moment where it almost felt like the air around me just shifted a little bit. And it was almost like God was just getting my attention. This kind of thing doesn't happen to me very often. It's not often I suddenly feel like God really speaking quite clearly to me. I got the sense of God saying that he wanted to sort of supercharge the prayer lives of the young people who were coming to lessons. That's you guys. Supercharge those prayer lives and equip you to pray more. particularly in the issue of schools. I felt God kind of nudging me and saying, as a teacher, there are things that I can't do with my students. I can't kind of be in the same kind of situations that you are in school. I can't be there for your friends in the way that you guys can be there for your friends who maybe aren't Christians, or just your friends in general. Okay? So what I would love to do for you all, okay, no matter which stage of the journey you are at the moment, I would love just to pray for you that your prayer lives be transformed and we'd see a bit more of God working in our own lives. I'm going to do that in a minute. But I also think that there are some of you in here today who God wants to give a particular gift of prayer to you. Everybody can pray, but sometimes God gives a particular gift of prayer to you. He puts that on their heart. It's kind of this gift that you want to pray for particular situations. You have a real desire to pray for it. I think even as kind of I'm talking now, I think some of you have got a bit of a feeling in your stomach. You're kind of going, oh, I think that might be me. I think maybe God is actually putting something on your hearts right now to pray for your schools and people in your schools and situations in your schools. I think that, yeah, maybe as I'm talking about, you can talk through your heart and think about, oh, I think that might be me. And if that is you, then after I pray for everybody, I'm going to invite you to come forward if you guys in front, you can make a space in there. And I'm going to invite you to come forward, and the leaders are going to come out to the front as well. I just pray for you. If you think that's you, and you think God wants you to be particularly blessed with a gift to pray for people in your schools in particular, then I would love to pray for you in the future as well. So, can you get your feet? I'm going to pray for all of you. Just like we've done other times as we will be praying, it's helpful to close your eyes. For your own concentration, but also for practicing the counting. I mean, yeah, so it helps if you're stuck on the floor for a long time. Sometimes it's helpful when you're praying, so put your hands out in front of you, that doesn't feel too weird and awkward. It's just a way of saying, dear God, I want to hear from you, I want to receive something from you. If you're comfortable doing that, go for it, okay? That's cool, that's fine. I'm just going to pray for you, okay? Father God, I thank you that you have been here this week and you have been working. God, I thank you that you have been speaking to us and nudging us and prompting us, Lord God, maybe in obvious ways and maybe in not such obvious ways as well. Father God, I thank you for the privilege of prayer. I thank you, God, that you want to open lines of communication with each and every one of us and that you desire that we talk to you all the time, Lord, that we share our lives with you. Father God, I just ask each of us now, particularly those of us who have hands up, ask you to receive, but those of us who even in our hearts now, Lord God, want more of this prayer stuff. Father God, I ask that you would just supercharge our prayer lives. Lord God, that you would help us to make space to walk with you, to talk with you, to listen to you. And Lord God, that we would just get a real handle on what it means to be a praying people. Lord God, would you just encourage us with stories of answered prayer? And Lord God, would you support us and help us and hold our hands through the disappointment and the doubt and the darkness, Lord, of unanswered prayers? Lord God, would you help us to be tenacious, to hold fast, even when we feel like our prayers aren't being answered? God, I pray that we would leave this letter hall feeling like we are a step closer in our prayer life with you. And I pray, God, that it would continue to grow as we get time. But God, I ask all of this in the name of Jesus. Right, let's sing a bit of worship together, and then I'll get some of you out if you feel like you want a bit more prayer, if you feel like you want that gift of prayer. Let's worship.